I heard a story about a couple. They were 60 years of age. I know a pastor 60 years of age. That's a very young couple, very young. And they've been married about 35 years. It was a very unseasonably warm day in December. I mean, the kind of day like, boy, this may be the last day we can get some stuff done in the yard, you know. So they were out working in the yard, and they came across this bottle. You know how things end up in your yard. They found a bottle there, and they picked up the bottle, and there was a cork on the bottle, and they pulled the cork out, and a genie popped out. Merry Christmas! You can each have two early Christmas presents. You each get one, an early Christmas present. So I'm going to give two presents here. What would you like for Christmas? And the woman just, well, wow, I don't know. We've lived in this this home for 35 years. I got to be honest, I've always wondered what it'd be like to have a mansion where we could have our family and friends and all of that. And would you like a mansion? Yes. Poof, mansion. Starts crying. She runs into the house. She's running through the house. She just is ecstatic. Her husband's standing here with his mouth open, you know, and the genie said, so what's your wish? He said, let me make sure she's gone. And he whispered, I've always wondered what it would be like to have a wife 30 years younger than me. Poof, he was 90. Have you learned yet when you when you want something you don't need, it usually doesn't turn out very well? Have you found that out to be true? Okay. What we think we want, it usually doesn't work out real well. But Christmas is about gift giving and gift receiving, so today is about the gift we're receiving. We're going to talk about that today, and then we're going to talk about that on Christmas Eve at our six services, Eve. Today we'll talk about it from Colossians chapter 1, the gifts that Jesus offered to us when he came from heaven to earth. And then this Christmas Eve we'll talk about Luke chapter 2 and this gift that is a present for every single person in the history of humanity everywhere. And so that's what we're going together this weekend. Would you turn in your Bibles into Colossians chapter 1? We've been kind of living there the last three weekends. We're going to look at the first chapter again because we find in this first chapter there are great details about who Jesus Christ is, why Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth. And today we're going to talk about what I would consider to be three gifts that are mentioned in Colossians chapter 1 that the Lord gives to us. And these are, you know, don't you like to get Christmas gifts that don't just like last for a short time and then it's done? It's like a lifetime gift. When you get a lifetime gift, that's a pretty big deal. All of these happen to be lifetime gifts that God gives to us. So take out your sermon notes section, if you would, a pen or a pencil. We'll put the scriptures on the screen. If you are a guest today, we welcome you to Connection Point. If you're in the chapel to the worship center, thanks for coming. Hope you just relax and feel at home, if you would. If you need something, holler. People out in the lobby say, can I help you? Seek out somebody if you'd like some help. We're just glad you're here. If you don't have a Bible, we want to give you one, and also we want to give you a special gift if you're a guest today. So if you stop at the information center after the service, they'll also give you that, a Bible if you'd need one, but also a special gift. But we're going to talk today about Colossians chapter 1, and we'll put the scriptures on the screen as we dig in and learn some things together about this. Now, before we get to the screen and talk about the scripture, there is a table here, and this is going to serve, I pray, as a visible reminder that you're never going to forget for the rest of your life. Worship is about sitting down at the table with Jesus. Jesus is one chair. We get to sit beside him. This week, you'll probably be sitting down at a meal with some people in your life. There are exceptions. I talked to a woman last night who owns a restaurant. They're open on Thanksgiving Day and Christmas Day because there's so many people who come in who are by themselves and don't want to be alone on Christmas. They open because of that. Interesting. So some of you may not be having a meal with people around the table, but an awful lot of people probably will be this week. It might be a Christmas party, a neighborhood party. It might be some of your classmates. It could be a family reunion or just your immediate family, but you're probably going to sit down to a meal, and so that's why this table is here, and it's going to remind us and I think serve as hopefully a prompting for some things that will help us see God at a different kind of level. Now, if it's a family reunion, when you sit down for a table, there are lots of always things that you look forward to with family reunions. Maybe you have a favorite aunt and you hope you're going to get to sit next to her, but probably what usually happens is she's at the other end of the table and Cousin Eddie is next to you. Now, you know Cousin Eddie, right? I mean, he's the one who says, "Do you want the rest of your apple pie?" He says, finances are tough. Can you give me a little loan for a short time? Is that, you know, so Cousin Eddie is beside you. I don't know if that'll work that way. But the point is, it will be emotional. It's a closer connection that happens whenever you sit around a table with people. It just is. It often is surface, but most of the time, if you sit around the table long enough, it'll move beyond surface. And that's why there's something about sitting at a table that reminds us of a connection that we can have with people in our lives, and that's what we'll be having. But we also have these gifts that the Lord offers to us as He invites us to sit at the table with Him. So if you'll take out your sermon notes, this is a gift that we can use for eternity. And here's the first gift He brings to us. He offers us forgiveness of our past. Colossians chapter 1, we'll pick it up in verse 21, is about where we finished last week. It says, "This includes that you who were once far away from God, you were His enemies, separated from Him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now He's reconciled you to Himself through the death of Christ in His physical body, and as a result, He's brought you into His own," what? Presence. Into His own presence. "And you are holy, and you're blameless, as you stand before Him without a single fault." We need to live. We need to have that verse for breakfast every day. Because we know about our sinful behavior. And I think we do know it separates us from a holy God. And we don't think of ourselves as His enemies, but when we are opposing God, we are His enemies. We were His enemies before He allowed us to have peace with Him because of our sin. You say, "Well, what are you talking about?" Well, I don't know. It could be a lie or some lies that you have told. It could be you took credit for something you shouldn't have taken credit for, which is another way of being dishonest. Maybe you really wounded some people in your marriage or your family by some bad choices that you made. It may have been just some thoughts that you've had that were really, really wrong, or some things you did that were wrong. But the deal is, it's about you stepping up, womaning up, and manning up, and owning the fact, "I'm guilty. I'm an enemy of God. I was an enemy of God because of my sinful life and behavior. But Jesus came all the way from heaven to earth to forgive me of my past, whatever constitutes my past sin." Let's drill just a little further. Some of you haven't gone there yet, so let's keep drilling. Maybe it was something you said to a family member or a friend. You wish you could take it back, but you can't, and it's really cost something. In this world, this happens every week, where somebody will post something on Facebook or Twitter about someone, and so it magnifies the hurt in somebody's life. You wish you could take it back, but you can't do that. It may have been a first drink of alcohol that you took. You'd give anything if you never took the first drink, because it's become now something that controls you. You'd give anything to never take a first drink. Maybe you spent too much time at work years ago. Boy, you'd give anything if your kids were young again. You could spend time with your kids because you missed out on a lot of stuff. And you regret that now. You don't get a do-over with that. But it's really left a wound a little bit in your kids' hearts and maybe in your own heart. You wish you could go back. What I want you to do is to not feel guilty about that again, but just admit your sin between yourself and between other people and recognize that that's why you need a Savior. That's why God left heaven to come to here for you, so you and I can get a fresh start, a brand new start. Even though we've offended the God of heaven and earth, He still offers us forgiveness. Whatever it is alienated you from God. I haven't listed it yet because some of you are going, "You don't know what I've done." I don't care what you have done that's alienated you from God. It's on His page. He wants you to have an eternal connection with Him anyway. And He wants you to have a connection with Him right here and now. Jesus Christ, even though we offended Him, wants us to be a part of Him and to connect with Him. to rescue us from our sin. That's why God became a human being, to deliver us from this thing called a sinful nature that causes all the pain I've described. Now, that's a really big deal that I talked about, and it's quite a deal I've talked about. You know, many people reject Christianity because they say, it's just too easy. You're telling me God can forgive all of my past when I just accept Him and receive Him as my Savior and Lord? And so the way it logically works for many people is, well, okay, they can't be set free until they kind of can balance the scales in some ways. Or even some people would say, okay, let me get it this way. If Jesus came to forgive me for all of my sins, should I continue to sin and sin and sin so I can get more and more of His grace? You say, well, who would ask a dumb question like that? That would be the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 6 verse 1, he said, well then, should we really keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of His wonderful grace? Should we do that? Has He given us grace so we just keep on sinning so we get His grace and forgiveness every single day? Of course, it's called a rhetorical question because the answer is obvious. Of course not. That's not how it's supposed to work. But He offers forgiveness of our past, your past and mine, the struggles and the sins right now in your life and in mine. But that forgiveness is only available for those who are willing to surrender to Him as Savior, but also as Lord. So it is absolutely possible that you can receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord because He came from heaven to earth to forgive your past. But He also came to offer power in our present. He gives us a reason to be alive right now. Because living the Christian life is not a piece of cake. You realize that, right? I mean, if you're new, just so you know, this is not an easy thing. Living a Christian life is a huge challenge. I'll say it's an impossible challenge. It's like, I want to be like Christ. Can't do it in this sinful human nature. That's why we call this grace so amazing. Because God not only forgives us of our past, but He gives us the power to live the Christian life right now. You cannot do it on your own, neither can I. But He gives us the power to do and be who He wants us to be and what He wants us to do. Look at verse 27 of Colossians 1. He says, God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. Initially, they thought it was just for the Jewish people. It's for every person. And this is the secret. Here it is. Christ lives in you. And this gives you the assurance. That's the word you need to mark in red. It's the assurance of sharing in His glory. So Christ lives in us through something called the Holy Spirit. It's a person, the third part of God. We're going to study 1 John in February. It's about walking in the Spirit of God. We're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. How does that work? When the Holy Spirit guides our lives, He gives us direction, and He also gives us the power to do what we could not do on our own. So let me say it one more time. When you choose to give your heart to Him, He then gives His Spirit to you to not just forgive your past, but give you power now to live the life that you want to live and He wants you to live. Now, have you ever wondered, how in the world can God ever forgive me of my past sins? See, once you become a Christian, this is how. Once you become a follower of Christ, when God looks at you, the Lord does not see you. He sees Christ in you. You understand that? He sees Christ in you. There's no way a holy God, you can have close fellowship with a holy God because we're unholy. It's impossible for us to be in His presence. His nature cannot tolerate being in the presence of sin. So there has to be some way in which He sees us as Christ within us, completely forgiven, that we can approach Him by His grace and mercy in that way. And why does He give us His Holy Spirit? Well, verse 28 answers the question. Here's why. So that we can tell others about Christ. Stop there or underline that, please. God has given you the Holy Spirit so you can tell other people about Christ. warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given to us. We want to present them to God, people that we tell about Christ, We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. Perfect? That's pretty, I'm not sure about that. Actually, the New International Version is a little better translation. It says, he's the one that we proclaim admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so we may present everyone fully what? Mature in Christ. That's the goal, to present us as mature in Christ, acceptable to God in Christ. And when you go through this process of growth, when you become mature in Christ, would you like to know how to define maturity in Christ? It is not about knowing the Bible. It's good to know the Bible. That's not the end game. That's not the goal. The goal is to follow Christ. But understand, you become mature in Christ when you get the fact that he has given you his Spirit, so you have the power and the ability to tell other people about Christ. There is no other ballgame. That is the whole story. There is no plan B. Jesus came, but he's gone now. And he's here in the spirit of his people, so that his people can now, through the Spirit of God, invite people to come along for the journey. That's why we like to use the phrase, when we get that, we're unstoppable. When you get it, when you mature in Christ, you can't help telling people about what Jesus has done for you. I love the Message translation of Acts 4:20. We can't keep quiet about what we've seen and heard. We can't stop talking about it. Now, some of you are saying, oh, I can. Steve, you get paid to talk, I get paid to listen. I think we could do that in this culture and think that, but that is not true. Christ is in you if you belong to Christ, and he will give you the courage through the Spirit of God to speak a word for him. Let's go a little further. Christmas Eve is coming in a couple of days. And some of you are thinking, I could never invite someone to come with me to worship. I just can't do that. I could never invite somebody to come on Christmas Eve on Tuesday or Wednesday to worship with us. Yes, you could. Through the power of Christ in you. May I make a prediction? Tomorrow, please leave your house at some point. I know it's dangerous. People are driving crazy out there this week. I get that. I've almost been killed this week, and I probably almost killed some people this week, okay? We get that. But if you dare do venture, get outside of your house just sometime this week, and I will predict God will put somebody in your path, and the Holy Spirit's gonna go, invite them to worship with you on Christmas Eve. It might be a waitress. It might be somebody at a cash register. It might be somebody at a coffee shop. It may be in a line somewhere at the post office. I have no idea. But randomly, you get some of those cards that we have and just say, hey, are you going to, I'd like to invite you to come to Christmas Eve worship with us. Love to have you. Some of you are saying, well, that just, why would you mess with somebody like that? No, just invite them. There are people that will come to Christmas Eve who won't come at Easter, but they will come on Christmas Eve, and you could do that. And here's what I can predict. You're thinking, okay, I'm going to invite them, and they're going to go, well, I already have plans Christmas Eve. We have plans. You go, well, you know, that's why we, you know, actually have services on Christmas Eve. We have services Tuesday night too. And they go, wish I could come. I have plans on Tuesday night too, Tuesday and Wednesday night. And then you're going to say, that's why we have a 2 and a 3:30 on Christmas Eve. Which one would you like to attend? Now, as you say, I could never do that. But Christ in you could do that. Now, can they still say no? Absolutely. And don't cross a line inappropriately. They can say no, but we just want to give you every opportunity to invite people to hear about this message. It's the only reason he's given us his Spirit, to tell other people why he came. But this full of maturing thing, it's a process. It's a lifelong journey. That's what the next verse tells us, verse 29. That's why he said, I work and I struggle so hard. Anybody, would you raise your hand if you have to work and struggle to be a Christian? Raise your hand. It's a journey, isn't it? It's a struggle. You can't do it without his Spirit. Paul says, I've got to work hard at this, depending on Christ's mighty power that works within me. Some of you are just starting new in this thing. And so I'm just kind of you know, spoiler alert, come to Christ, but everything's not going to be roses. It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a challenge. But he said he'll give you the supernatural power to be with you right now. We do our part to receive him, to be used by him, and he will do his part. And this challenge takes on a different level of meaning at Christmas time because we have this wonderful name of Jesus. There were many names for Jesus. I love the one they said he's Emmanuel, which means God with us. Hear me now. That does not mean Emmanuel was with us. God was with us. It doesn't mean God will be with us. It means God is with us, in us. It's timeless. Now, that is absolutely overwhelming when you begin to comprehend you have the supernatural power of God inside of you 24/7. That God would come to live inside of us is crazy. That a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes would grow to be a man and give you that opportunity. It's so overwhelming, but when you begin to realize that that God in his spirit comes to live inside of you and me, sinful people, think about that. Sinful people, but a baby who never sinned. Now, you know generally that's the deal with babies, right? Babies have not sinned. That doesn't mean they don't challenge the rules. Doesn't mean they don't have strong wills. But babies, they don't know the difference between right and wrong, so they don't need forgiveness. Exhibit A. This is our granddaughter. That is Lucille. That's what she wore to church last Sunday. My daughter, Aunt Danielle got that for Lucille. And Jared and Sarah, they got that hat on her. They snapped the picture, and she jerked that thing off as quick as the picture was over. They were fortunate to capture it quickly. Now look in that face and tell me you would look at her and say, you have sinned. You need forgiveness. She doesn't need forgiveness. You know why? She's perfect. Not because she's our granddaughter, because she's 17 months old. Every 17-month-old in the history of creation is perfect. They belong to God. The Lord said, unless you become like an innocent, trusting, like that little child, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, with that slide going down, now imagine your picture up there. That's a different picture, isn't it? That person needs forgiveness. That person does know right from wrong. He came for you to forgive you of your sin. He knows all about it. Not just your past sin. He knows how you're going to stumble in the future or intentionally go down a wrong road in the future. He knows all about that. So it really is very, very good news that God is with us. But it's like better supernatural news to know that he's in us. Okay? Okay? All right, here's the third gift then. He also offers heaven to us for our future. You can have a place at the table with Jesus Christ in heaven. He's in one chair, and there's a chair. When you get to heaven, can you picture Jesus sitting at this, and he's going to go, you, come here. This is for you. Have a seat. Pull up a chair. Sit next to me. Nobody's ever been in that chair before. I've been waiting for you. I wouldn't let anybody sit in that chair because that has your name on it. Right next to me. You comprehend that? It's the truth. We sit around a table with him, and when you invite somebody to come to your house, by the way, when you say, come over for lunch, have a seat around our table, what are you saying? You're part of us. We're just family. Come on, sit down. As things change when you say, let's do lunch. You're going to go to another level, okay? The Lord says that to us. Colossians chapter 1, look back at verses 19 and 20. God in all of his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth, that includes you and me, by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Because of our sinful nature, we were the enemies of God. We continue to struggle to live out, to work out our salvation, to follow Christ. So that's why we have to be reconciled, brought back to God. And this verse tells us that's exactly how it takes place. Only through the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That is why God not only came from heaven to earth in the form of a baby, but he grew to be a man. And he lived a perfect life. And he was tempted in every single way that you and I have been tempted. The difference is he never ever sinned in his 33 years. So when he was on the cross, he became the perfect sacrifice to pay the price for your sins. He experienced the punishment for your sins so that you would never be punished for your sins. Now stay with me. This morning, when we have communion, I don't want you just to think about Jesus dying on the cross. I want you to think about the fact that he stayed on the cross. I think that's the bigger miracle. Why? You remember what they said to Jesus? Of all the temptations of Jesus, this had to be the greatest. He's on the cross. He knows the only way we can be forgiven is he sacrifices his blood to the point of death on a cross. And when they said to Jesus, they tried to get a rise out of him. They said, he saved other people. Let's see if he can save himself. Come down from the cross. And Jesus had a choice to make. They didn't know it, but Jesus had a choice to make. They didn't know his choice. His choice was this. He could either stay on the cross or he could save himself and come down from the cross to prove he was God. Say another way, he could have saved himself from the pain of the cross then, or he could have saved you from your sin then. He chose you. He stayed on the cross. The emotional, the spiritual, all of the separation he felt in that moment, apart from God the Father in heaven, denying who he really was, so that one day in heaven he could say, come, sit right here by me. Because I made you, he says, to sit by me and be with me forever and forever. And that's a message for every single human being in the history of the world, every single place. And that's why, with laser focus, we're going to have beautiful strings and we're going to have candlelight and we're going to sing the wonderful carols. And I'm going to talk about the message, the gift of Christ for every person. Please, I plead with you, invite someone to come to hear about the gift of Christ for them. I'm talking about the person who will say to you, the church walls will come down if I come into your church. Some of you told me that when you first came. They're still up. I've never seen them come down yet. Everybody thinks they're the one. That's who I'm talking about. That's who needs to know how much Christ wants them. We're going to make it as clear as we can. We're going to name every label we can name. Nobody is excluded. They can come to Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that? How can you speak for God to know that he wants everyone to come to know him? Well, the Holy Spirit gave Peter these words to the persecuted church in the first century in Turkey. While they were there struggling, being persecuted as Christians are today in Turkey, Peter wrote this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise. What was his promise? He went back to heaven. He said, I'm going to come back quickly. Been 2,000 years now. That's pretty slow on our schedule, right? He's not slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient for your sake. He does not want, say it with me, anyone, that person, the person that drives you crazy, the person you might really have a difficult time inviting to come to know Christ. He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but he wants everyone to repent, to be drawn to him, to turn toward him. And so Jesus Christ made it so clear that those at the same time who will receive him will belong to him, but there's the other side to the story. There's no way to candy coat this. He told us plain and simple, others who reject him will be cut off from God, the source of life, forever. John 3, verse 36, Jesus said, anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never, never experience eternal life, but remains under God's angry judgment. Who just came to your mind? That you do not want to never experience eternal life. Not only can you be reconciled to God, not only do you have the chance for a pardon, complete forgiveness for your past, your present, and your future. He wants to offer it to you, but he also gives you the power to live out the life he wants you to live. He wants you to have a place at his table, but he also wants you to tell others so they too can come around his table. Now let me say one more thing about this table. This Christmas, when you sit down at a meal, there may be an empty chair around your table. Somebody in your life is no longer here. If they belong to Jesus, when you look at that chair, I want you to remember they are sitting at a table. They're not with you. They're sitting with Jesus. It's true. And that's when God brings comfort and joy. Joy means the presence of God even when you're grieving, even when you're hurting. Christ in us, the hope of glory, and that's the only reason we exist as a church. This past year, as if you've been around, you know that we have had a year unlike any year we've had before, where more than 400 people have said, "I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I accept his forgiveness. I receive his forgiveness. I confess my belief in Christ." And then they went public. It shows that it's real. They went public and they were baptized into Christ. Our last baptism weekend was 2 weekends ago for the year. I wanted to share with just, when people are baptized, we have them write down just a little short snippet of their story, and I wanted to read one of them. I could read 400 of them, but we have time for one. But I want you to hear it. A woman wrote these words: "My parents were divorced when I was a freshman in high school. My mom did some things children should never see their mother do. She was manipulative. She didn't like my family, and she told me lies about my family that weren't true, and it really was hard for me to work through that. But June of 2014, my nephew was having some major surgery, and my roommate had been coming to Connection Point Christian Church, and I said, 'Can I just come with you just this one Sunday? I want to come, and I want to pray for my nephew.' Well, I've been coming ever since. My nephew's surgery went great. He's doing well. But I then went through a series of classes and studied the Bible, and I confessed Christ, and I've become a part of a small group, and I made the decision to be baptized 2 weeks ago on December the 7th, 2014. And she writes, "It was the most amazing experience I've ever had, and I can't wait to serve the Lord even more than I've ever done before. And since coming to Connection Point, I've reconnected." The biblical word has been reconciled. "I've reconnected not only with God, but hear this, with some of those family members. And I'm trying to repair the relationship with my mom. She now has the Spirit of God to help her do that. I know God is in my heart forever. And I share this story so that other people can know Christ." There are two powers that speak out to you and I. One would be the voice of Satan. Here's the difference. On your outlines, Satan knows your name, but he calls you by your sin. You hear it in the middle of the night. Here's the difference. Jesus knows your sin, but he calls you by your name. What a difference. That's why Romans 8 verse 1 says, "See, there's now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, for those who belong to Christ Jesus." And I don't know what Satan has called you in the middle of the night. You've heard it 1,000 times. Disengaged wife, workaholic husband or father, dishonest employee, rebellious student. You know what he's called you. And however he has haunted you, God says, come to me when you're weary and burdened. I'll give you rest. Would you put this verse of scripture beside your bed that you can read in the middle of the night the next time you're haunted with your past? 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. And then you go back to sleep and let the angels sing you to sleep. None of us deserve it. Deserve to sit at the table with Jesus? We don't deserve that. But not only does he invite us to sit at the table with him in heaven, he welcomes us. He longs for us to entrust ourselves to him. There's a connection card in your programs. There are any number of ways in which you may want to tell us how we can pray for you on your card. We'll collect those in a moment. But some of you would like to become a Christian. You'd like to join the family of God. You're ready to say, God, I'm yours. I accept the offer. Let us know on that card. There will be people you can talk with and pray with after the service. There will be people in the lobby that have on blue shirts that say, can I help you? And we're just here to help you in the journey, to connect you with folks if you'd like to do that, to give you a Bible if you need that, to attend a class if you need that, to pray with you if you need that, to help connect you to Christ, because we have the Spirit of God for that reason. Would everybody listen to these words from God? Allow him to impress these on your heart and mind. Colossians 1, verse 22, you might read them or close your eyes and listen to them. Now Jesus has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. And as a result, he's brought you into his own presence. And you are holy. You're blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. But you must continue to believe this truth and stand firmly in it. Let's pray. God, we come to this moment when, as believers, followers of Christ, as we've called upon your name and said, Lord, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Would you forgive me of all of my sins of the past? I mean, the one that's buried the deepest. Would you forgive my past? God, would you give me the power to work out the struggling of life? And God, would you give me the hope, the solid eternal hope, the living hope of sitting down with you face to face in heaven? As we've called upon your name, we now come to remember. It's only possible because of the sacrifice of the blood of Christ. And so as we hold the bread, we remember the body of Christ that took on the pain and the punishment so we would never have to be punished for our sins. As we in unison eat that bread and drink from the fruit of the grapevine, we remember the blood that came as a result of the piercing of Jesus' body, the pain he endured physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so that we could be at peace with you and be welcomed into your presence one day and have you live within us today. As we take in unison these emblems, unite us around the hope of Christ for the world. And God, just maybe as we remember you, you'll also bring to our minds someone we know, or you'll help us be ready this week with cards in hand to invite someone to hear the good news about Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.